mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, have you seen an increase in your car insurance rates lately? Many consumers have, with skyrocketing costs far outpacing the rate of inflation. We have some pointed questions to ask the president and CEO of the American Property Casualty Insurance Association. Also this morning, millions of families adopted dogs and cats to keep them company during COVID lockdowns. Now, 4 years later, the needs of those pandemic pets are changing as they age. And fresh off another successful Community Read event, we have details on April happenings at the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library. Director Sarah Clevidence will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. Hopefully, again, like I mentioned yesterday, I will be able to make it through the program and we'll be just fine. But I am a little gravelly today, a little raspy. Have that traditional radio voice. I should go out and voice a movie trailer today in a world where, you know, I have that kind of a voice. Anyway, but last night, my wife and I went out to eat at Texas Roadhouse. A lot of the locations around the state were doing a fundraiser for the tornado relief in the Indian Lake area. And the Findlay location was included. The Lima location was included. And there were about a dozen other locations of Texas Roadhouse around the state. So my wife and I went out and we decided, hey, maybe we should try and beat the crowd and get there early. Apparently, the crowd had the same idea because we got there and it was just insanely packed even before 5 p.m. and posted about it on Facebook, and a bunch of my friends shared that they had the same thought. They went out, and I guess the wait time was up to 2 hours in Findlay and Lima for a while. 2 hours to get a table. So, and I guess Lancaster was the same way. Grove City was the same way. They raised an awful lot of money, and so kudos to Texas Roadhouse and everybody who went out everybody who went out and dined yesterday, including my wife and I. It was very nice. Had a nice meal. Just wanted to shout out to all of those folks who kind of made that happen. The big story yesterday, of course, was and by now I'm sure you've seen the video, the bridge collapse in Baltimore. That cargo ship hit the pillar supporting the bridge and took it down. It was like a house of cards the way it came down. It was just amazing. And how incredible the story of the police officers who got the word about the Mayday and the possibility that the ship was going to hit the bridge, and they stopped the traffic to make sure that there weren't any cars on the bridge when it struck. I mean, they just happened to be in the area. God put them in the right place at the right time that they could stop the traffic on either end of the bridge. Two just random officers who happened to be nearby. And I was thinking when I heard that story, can you imagine being one of those cars that got stopped by the officers? You know, you're just driving along and all of a sudden a cop comes screaming up and pulls in front of you and says, don't go on the bridge. And I'm sure that at first they got some people who were griping. Hey, I got someplace to be. I got to get, you know, what do you mean I can't drive on the bridge? And then like 30 seconds later, it comes down into the river. Man, talk about, small miracles. That could have been certainly thoughts and prayers with the families of the construction workers who now it appears were lost in the accident, but it could have been a heck of a lot worse. And it's this dramatic video. If you haven't seen it, I can't imagine you haven't seen it. It's been everywhere, but just incredible. By the way, speaking of cars, on a lighter note, this was kind of interesting. Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, I saw this new survey. This was commissioned by Meineke Car Care Centers, and they asked 2,000 car owners how they feel about their cars. 51% of Americans in the survey said that they think of their car as a member of the family. I mean, I know Americans love their cars, but really, a member of the family? 53% say that we'd keep their current car forever if it were possible. But what I thought was really interesting about this survey, they asked what you believe the automobile of the future will look like. And 69% of Gen Zers see electric vehicles as the way of the future. 31% of boomers said the same thing. Only 31, excuse me. Again, kind of phlegmy this morning. Only 31% of boomers said electric cars are the way of the future, but 69% of Gen Zers. And I'm thinking because Gen Zers are going to be the ones buying the cars of the future. Boomers are not going to be the ones buying the cars of the future. The Gen Zers are. So I think I'm probably with them that electric vehicles ultimately will be the way of the future. And the reason they asked Gen Zers what the attraction of electric cars is that not having to pay for gas. That's the main draw, which I guess that's kind of obvious. I guess that'd be from the file of duh. Yeah, that's why they like their electric cars. But anyway, big news this morning. This is maybe the most important story you will hear today. Krispy Kremes are coming to McDonald's. That's right, the famous donut will soon be sold at Mickey D locations across the country. A new partnership between McDonald's and Krispy Kreme will bring three kinds of Krispy Kreme donuts to McDonald's restaurants. The original glazed, the chocolate iced cream filled, and chocolate iced with sprinkles. Now, you won't be able to buy these today or tomorrow or next month. It will take, it will be the second half of this year when this will begin rolling out, and it will not be fully implemented. They won't be, it'll take until the end of 2026 for Krispy Kreme to ramp up production enough to be able to supply every McDonald's location. That's how many McDonald's locations there are. But by the end of 2026, beginning the second half of this year and through 2026, they'll be rolling this out. Krispy Kreme donuts at McDonald's. And the first thing that I thought when I saw that story, how long will it be, do you think, before some enterprising restaurateur, McDonald's franchisee, comes up with the idea to serve the donut burger in the afternoon? You know, the ones like you get at the fair where the donut replaces the bun on the burger. How long do you think it'll be before they decide to do that? The Krispy Kremes that go unsold in the morning, they can use to do. It'll probably be like an off menu item, one of those hidden menu items. But someone somewhere at a McDonald's restaurant will come up with that idea to serve up donut burgers with their, donut Big Macs at some point. Big, big news. Krispy Kremes coming to McDonald's. I can't wait. You remember this story from, I guess this has been, how many weeks ago, the celebrity or the movie memorabilia auction, that's what I mean, the movie memorabilia auction where they were selling the door frame prop that Rose held onto in the movie Titanic. You remember? It reignited the debate over whether Jack could have fit on the door and saved himself from his fate at the end of the movie Titanic. The doorframe prop that Rose held onto in the movie Titanic has sold at auction for $718,750. Wow! $750,000 sold on Monday as part of a Treasures from Planet Hollywood sale. James Cameron, who directed Titanic, said, based on what I know today, the controversy over the size of the door, I would have made the door smaller. So there would be no doubt, because at the end, Jack had to die. That was how the film was going to end. He said, I would have made the door smaller, so there wouldn't have been any doubt. That was only one of the items that was up for sale. Other items that were sold on Monday in the Treasures from Planet Hollywood sale: the bullwhip from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Indy's whip from the 1984 movie, and the that Jack Nicholson used in The Shining. Well, just think, if Jack would have had access to that in Titanic, then it might have been a whole different ending, too. But anyway, whole entire auction brought in nearly $16 million. Wow. The axe that Jack Nicholson used in The Shining. Now, that I would love to have. That would be a pretty cool bit of movie memorabilia to own. And a follow-up here, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, a follow-up to a story from about a month ago. You remember the story about the truckload of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads that disappeared ahead of bobblehead night for the Pittsburgh Penguins. You remember this story? The thousands of bobbleheads, truckload of bobbleheads that were supposed to be given out to fans as part of Jaromir Jagr bobblehead night for the Pittsburgh Penguins disappeared, presumed stolen. Well, now it has been returned. According to a post on X by the Penguins, the bobbleheads, says the bobbleheads were supposed to be given away in honor of the retired hockey player, but had gone missing somewhere in California, assumed to be stolen. According to the Penguins, a special cargo recovery team negotiated the return of the bobbleheads. A special cargo recovery team. So they negotiated the return. So it turns out they weren't stolen. They were just kidnapped and held hostage, apparently. But the good news is they are now on their way to PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, and fans who have a voucher from the March 14th game will be able to receive their bobblehead at last. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department, where the bobbleheads, the shipment of bobbleheads went missing out in L.A., the Sheriff's Department there says the investigation is ongoing, but the fans will get their bobbleheads, and I love a story with a happy ending. Maybe they should make a movie about that. In a world where Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads go missing, I could do the trailer for it. In a world where... There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly cloudy today, a high in the mid-40s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 30. The city of Findlay says an investigation revealed an unpleasant odor people were reporting at the end of last year and beginning of this year was originating from the Tall Timbers Industrial Park. Findlay Service Safety Director Rob Martin explains.
One of our local manufacturers changed part of their process and some of their molding, and it changed the odor that was being exhausted, but it was completely safe, and they didn't care for that, what the results were, so they went back to their original process, and it went back and the odor went away, and it's a non-issue moving forward.
He says the air quality was never affected and remained safe. Get more on the investigation in the story on our website. The United Way of Hancock County is letting nonprofits, government offices, schools, and other entities know if they've got spring cleaning projects, they've got the volunteers to complete them. It'll happen during their 40th Days of Caring, which is coming up May 6th through the 10th. During Days of Caring, employees of area corporations, civic groups, and small businesses lend a hand to local organizations. We have a link in the story on our website where you can sign up your volunteer team or register your project. Governor DeWine addressed the Regional Growth Partnership's 2024 annual meeting.
The Regional Growth Partnership is the lead economic development organization serving the Toledo region and 17 counties in Northwest Ohio. The organization is a 100% private-led group which focuses on meeting the site location needs of corporate clients. Dave James, ONN News.
As the eclipse approaches, Dr. Bill Coates with Blanchard Valley Health System is encouraging the community to plan ahead with health and safety in mind. He says eye safety is vital. Looking directly at the sun without proper protection can cause permanent damage to your vision. He says only look at the eclipse with eclipse glasses that indicate they comply with certain requirements. He says regular sunglasses do not offer adequate protection. Get more from Dr. Coase on the upcoming eclipse in the story on our website. And remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, all across across the country, drivers are complaining about dramatic increases in their car insurance premiums, in sharp contrast to the pandemic, when a lot of companies reimbursed policyholders some of what they had paid because there were so few claims being filed since nobody was going anywhere. In the years since, rates have increased by double digits time and again. So what is going on here? David Sampson is president, CEO of the American Property Casualty Insurance Association. David, the easy answer is to blame inflation, but the increases have even outpaced the rate of inflation, which leads many people to conclude that it's just corporate greed. What are the main reasons that auto insurance premiums are rising so quickly?
Well, Chris, it is the fundamental driver is the rate of inflation. We are at four decade high levels of inflation that topped out at 9%. But insurance repair and labor costs have far exceeded the consumer price index. So, for example, over the last 5 years, the cost of motor vehicle labor repair has increased 20%. Over that same period of time, the cost of parts have increased 40%. So the rate of inflation in insurance input costs have dramatically outpaced the overall rate of inflation. And inflation is still very much with us. It's dropped down from its peak of 9% to somewhere between 3 and 4%. But yesterday you saw the Fed Open Market Committee decided to keep interest rates at their current level because they know that inflation is still running higher than their targeted rate of 2%.
So with inflation, though, cooling off, again, those premiums still continue to increase. How long will it take for those declines in inflation to be reflected in insurance rates? Or is this another one of those things there where once it goes up, it's not coming back down again?
I think it's true to say that the inflation that has been baked into the economy over the last several years, that 9% rate of inflation is now baked into the economy. It's not coming down. Those labor costs, the parts costs are not coming down. We're certainly not in a deflationary period. It's just that the rate of inflation has moderated some, but prices are still going up for input costs. I think it's also important to note, Chris, that insurers can't just raise rates anytime they want to. Insurance is a highly regulated industry. It's regulated at the state level by each state's Department of Insurance. Insurance rates are a lagging indicator of cost because it takes months for insurers to be able to file an actuarially sound rate increase request and to have that request approved by the state's Department of Insurance. But hopefully, as the overall rate of inflation moderates, we should see auto insurance premiums begin to moderate as well. But as you indicated at the top, I mean, there's more factors than just inflation. Auto accident frequency and severity have returned with a vengeance since the end of COVID restrictions.
That is all very good points as well. What do you say to those who would argue, hey, I haven't had an accident. I haven't had any other kind of claim. I haven't had a traffic ticket, no citations. Why are my premiums rising? Shouldn't I be immune from this if I am not costing the insurance company any money?
Well, it's still no one is immune from this inflationary environment, and insurers have to charge for the rates that are indicated by loss projections. And so, as I mentioned, everyone is impacted by that. It's also a factor of as people buy newer cars that are technology intensive now. Some people have said we're not driving cars anymore, we're driving computers with
right.
wheels. And
right.
I think that there's a lot of truth in that. And so you look at even if you're in a minor fender bender and the cost that it takes to replace a bumper or a windshield or side view mirrors is much higher than it was a few years ago because of all of the sensors and cameras that are embedded in vehicles now. And people, people are wanting to buy more expensive cars with more technology embedded in it for safety reasons. And if people are looking for electric cars are much more expensive to repair or replace. And all of those factors go into actuarial rate indications that companies request from departments of insurance.
A valid point that there are those trade-offs that have to be made with respect to that. So I don't want to be all doom and gloom here. What can consumers do to help lower their insurance premiums in this environment, if anything at all?
Well, there are a number of things that consumers can do. First of all, shop around. Every time your policy comes up for renewal, shop around. Auto insurance is a highly competitive business. People see that by looking at when they watch TV, how many companies are out there vying for your business through commercials. So most important, shop around when your policy comes due. Secondly, talk to your local independent insurance agent about things like bundling your auto policy with your homeowner's policy. Ask about increasing your deductible. Yes, you'll pay more if you are in an accident, but by increasing your deductible, you can lower your monthly premiums. Ask for what discounts you're eligible for. Things like good grade discounts, especially if you have teenagers in the family, can be a significant way of reducing your premium. Ask your agent to refer you to those companies that offer telematics programs that measures your individual driving behavior. If you're one of those drivers that don't floor the accelerator or when the light changes or brake hard when you come up to an intersection, you can be eligible for significant good driver discounts. And then finally, if you're one of those people that you're just not driving as much as you used to because maybe you're still working remotely several days a week, you're only using your car to go out for dinner or go shopping on weekends, ask your agent about pay per mile or pay to drive programs that can offer significant savings of your monthly premiums.
Again, David Sampson is president, CEO of the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, on the topic of rising auto insurance rates that have been so much in the news and on drivers' minds these days. David, where can we get more information?
You can dig deeper at apci.org/cost drivers, and it will dig deeper into the causes of increased cost, but also ways to improve your discounts and save on monthly premiums.
David, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You remember 4 years ago when the world was locked down and we were all looking for ways to make life a little brighter? Well, nearly one in five American households did that by adopting a pet. And now, today, those puppies and kittens are fully grown, and those pets adopted as adults are approaching their senior years. And their needs change over time, just like ours do as we age. So with that in mind, lifestyle expert and TV host Kathy Buccio joins us this morning to talk about how we can support pet health and wellness at every stage to ensure that they are living their best lives. And Kathy, you actually were one of those who added a pandemic pet to your family, right?
I did, Chris. She was the best thing to come out of that pandemic. We got her actually a few months before the pandemic. She arrived home. She was such a sweet girl. It was love at first sight. And she's so lovable. She's affectionate. She loves to cuddle. She's so great with the kids. I mean, we couldn't imagine our lives without her. She just basically runs the house. I'm going to be completely honest here, Chris.
As do most pets, let's be honest. And biggest message and the main point that we want to emphasize, we want to make sure that as those pets get older, that we don't fall into the trap of forgetting about the vaccinations, the routine checkups, all of that.
Absolutely. And the same way I would say that you make an appointment to go see your doctor to get your routine checkup or your shots, we're going to do the same for our pets. It's really important that we keep up with those vaccines and those checkups. So the checkup, we want to do that once a year, because that's going to help prevent and identify any conditions that might be going on early on. And, you know, while you're there, make sure the pets are up to date with the vaccine. So, I mean, listen, you can have a puppy, a kitten, a senior pet. They all require regular vaccines to protect them. Now, Vetco Vaccination Clinics, they offer this new vaccine packages that are grouped by age and lifestyle. I love that for your pet. And for your listeners, now through June 30th, new pets to Vetco Total Care Hospitals can receive their first routine checkup for free, which means there's no excuse. Let's sign them up. If you're a Premier member, you can receive all these routine exams unlimited, and you get $20 off vital care. You get $20 of vital care rewards in case that you have to go outside and do an exam outside of Petco.
There you go. Again, no excuse for not doing it. We want to make sure that we get this caught up if maybe we've been a little lax. As we mentioned, pets' needs do change at different stages of their lives. Give us some examples.
Absolutely. I mean, you go from a puppy to a mature pet to a senior pet, a kitten to a cat. All their pets' needs, they change as they grow. So let's start with nutrition. So when you're talking about puppies and kittens, they can really benefit from these specific formulations that focus more on growth and development. When you get those older, more mature pets, they may have different dietary needs and sensitivities. So you might be looking into switching the food, something maybe that's a little more focused on, let's say, weight management. Maybe they've been having too many snacks. Maybe they're getting older. Or maybe some food with limited ingredients. So you want to start preparing them for that. And they also start settling into those senior years. I know we don't like to talk about it because we don't like our dogs or our pets to get old, but they may benefit from joint and fatty supplements that's going to help them with mobility, with their joints, with their skin, their coat health. And when we think about adjustments that we can do at home, home adaptations are also key. So you have a puppy or a kitten, you think about the toys, the squeaky toys, the gates, right? Those are really helpful. But as they get older, maybe they need something different. Maybe they need stairs, or maybe they need, you know, some orthopedic beds as well as an adjustment.
You know, the other big question mark as we got back to normal, as life sort of returned to its routine, and our lives got busier and more hectic. When all of this was going on at the height of the pandemic, we had unlimited amount of time to dedicate to our pets. Now, not so much. What are some of the ways that we can continue to prioritize and support our pets' health and safety, both physically and, you know, mentally?
You're right. I mean, 4 years ago, life looked a whole lot different. You're indoors a lot. That means our pets were constantly with us. And as life sort of went back to a new normal, things got busier, got to change. There's new routines. Maybe people moved. Maybe you're getting back to the office. But all these changes, they really increase pet stress and anxiety, Chris. And behavioral issues, as we know, they really can come up at any stage during our pet's life. I mean, I'll give you an example. During the pandemic and after, I would say Roxy had a lot of separation anxiety. She would get so overexcited.
Yeah.
She would shake anytime I would leave the house. And I was like, what are we going to do with this dog? Well, we talked to our vet. We spoke to a certified trainer. And we were able to learn some really great techniques and tools to reinforce positive behavior. That's what we wanted, that positive behavior. And we still use some of those tips today. Another thing, the grooming. The grooming is so important. You know, it's not just about like getting the haircut and feeling and looking good, but it's also the first line of defense for identifying any issues that need to be checked out by a vet. And lastly, I always say this to pet parents, register your pets with Petco Love Lost. It's a free national lost and found database that uses technology to help reunite pets and their families using this patent recognition technology, as I mentioned, and we definitely want to get them together. And I always say, take an extra step and microchip your pet.
All so very important to remember our pandemic pets as they age and our lives continue to evolve post-pandemic. Kathy Buccio, again, is with us this morning. Where do we get more information, Kathy?
More info. Yes, I gave you a lot, and there's still so much more that you can find on Petco.com, or just pop into your nearest Petco.
We'll put a link up on our webpage as well. Kathy, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
In Wyoming, Michigan, which is southwest of Grand Rapids, Wyoming, Michigan, 65-year-old John Tipton is facing new charges after he allegedly robbed the same bank for a second time. First time, I guess, happened back in August of 2022. Mr. Tipton walked into the Fifth Third Bank there in Wyoming, told the teller he had a gun, and made off with an amount of cash. It doesn't say how much he got in the first robbery. But then this past Friday, Mr. Tipton allegedly robbed the same bank in the exact same way. Well, I guess you figured if it works once. He apparently didn't hear that story about the criminals returning to the scene of the crime. It worked once. He tried again. He has since been taken into custody and is now facing new charges of armed robbery. Same bank a second time. Let's see here. A little bit of deja vu going on at the Fifth Third there in Wyoming, Michigan. Here's an item of the broken news. How many of us have, be honest now, how many of us have thought about doing this? I think we've all, the thought has crossed our mind. But a Utah man actually did it. Tried to beat highway traffic by installing red and blue flashing lights on his work truck. 47-year-old man, name is not given in the report, said he was traveling on Interstate 15 near Parowan, Utah on Sunday with red and blue flashing lights on his truck, causing other vehicles to move out of his way, of course. The vehicle aroused the suspicion of other drivers because once it passed, they could see it had a construction company logo printed on its side. It wasn't a law enforcement vehicle. Construction company logo on the side of the truck. The pickup was eventually stopped by real troopers with real red and blue lights. And the driver admitted to turning on the red and blue lights to beat the highway traffic. But wait, there's more. Troopers also reported they found a small bag containing a white powdery substance, which the driver allegedly claimed was amphetamine. He said he takes it to stay awake while he's driving. That is not an approved method of staying alert behind the wheel. I take it to stay awake while I'm driving. The driver tested positive for multiple intoxicants. According to the report, he was charged with several misdemeanor offenses, including drug possession, DUI, and impersonation of a police officer. Let's face it, we've all thought of doing that, but this guy actually decided to give it a try. Did not end well. And that's why the rest of us never get past the thinking about it stage, right? We think it would be cool, but we don't do it. And this is why. Speaking of traffic madness here, in Fishers, Indiana, let's see here, 20-year-old Michael Anthony Stancato was involved in a high-speed chase, did not do himself any favors by bragging to cops. Once he had been caught, he bragged to cops that he had reached speeds of 170 miles an hour before the chase ended. He was actually clocked doing 84 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, but rather than pulling over, Mr. Stancato put the pedal to the metal, racing through the state through state and county roads at speeds exceeding triple digits, according to the police report. His wild ride ended when his Ford Mustang, hit a curb. He still refused to go quietly, fighting on the ground with a police officer who then tasered him. He was arrested on preliminary charges of criminal recklessness, resisting law enforcement, and criminal mischief, but not before boasting to police that he hit 170 on the speedometer. That ain't nothing. I hit 170. Alrighty then. Sometimes the bad guys just make it too easy for the cops, you know? And speaking of traffic incidents, this from the International File, a 38-year-old from Brisbane, Australia, who allegedly evaded police after being involved in a car accident on Sunday morning, had to be rescued from a stormwater drain. This was on Monday. Queensland police report the man was allegedly involved in a car accident and then avoided speaking with police. He disappeared. The next day, they actually found him. The traffic accident happened on Sunday. On Monday, they found him in a stormwater drain. He claims he got stuck while trying to retrieve his cell phone. Someone reportedly saw a man stuck in a drain, but he had refused help. He finally relented, and firefighters were able to get him out. The man appears to be in stable condition and is now complying with police. So now he's cooperating. And finally, in the broken news, also from the land down under, the International File, a groom-to-be in Australia is facing the possibility of spending his honeymoon sleeping on the sofa after accidentally speeding away with his bride's wedding dress on the roof of his car. Oh, no! Oh, no! obviously, the wedding dress was lost to the wind and is nowhere to be found. The bride-to-be posted on Facebook over the weekend, "We have unfortunately lost the wedding dress." she shared that her betrothed stupidly left the package on the roof of the car. Ironically, the groom-to-be put the dress on the roof of his SUV so it wouldn't be crushed by other items he was loading into the vehicle. The couple, according to the Facebook post, is offering a $500 reward for anyone who finds the dress. They say it is packaged in a brown delivery box addressed to Lindell Kane. Local news reports say the wedding is not until next February, so they have some time, plenty of time to either find the dress or find a new dress should the original fail to be recovered. But oh, man, that would be like the ultimate. Would you be questioning whether or not the marriage was meant to be at that point? I mean, do I really want to marry this guy? Could happen to anyone. Could happen to anyone. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When local news breaks, you can hear about it on social media at lightning speed. And while getting you the information fast is important, WFIN will always present the story only after verifying with actual sourced facts. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust the voice that's been covering the news in Findlay and Hancock County for more than 80 years. You can depend on us to get the story right every time. On social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Easter by the numbers, according to the folks at WalletHub. The financial wizards took a deep dive into the Easter holiday, which is coming up on Sunday. It is observed by roughly 63% of Americans who classify themselves as Christians. How can you classify yourself as a Christian and not celebrate Easter? I mean, that is bizarre to me, but that's what it says. 63% of Americans who classify themselves as Christians will be celebrating Easter. $22 billion will be spent on the Easter holiday in 2024. That is actually down from last year. 7 in 10 of those in the survey said that they are spending less this year than they did last year. 61% cite inflation as the reason. But it's still, even though it's less money that we're spending, it still works out to $177 per person. $22 billion. WalletHub crunched the numbers, and they found that 91 million chocolate bunnies are sold annually right around this time of year, and 16 billion jelly beans are consumed every Easter, which is enough to circle the globe three times. in jelly beans. Although why you would want to, I have no idea. More than $3 million will be spent on candy alone in this country for Easter 2024. Of the most popular candy to go in the Easter basket, chocolate bunnies and or eggs. Chocolate bunnies and or eggs are number one on the list. Jelly beans, number two in the terms of most popular Easter basket candy. Candy-coated eggs and marshmallow peeps. Or other marshmallow treats. I guess they didn't break it down by peeps or other marshmallow treats. Just marshmallow treats, marshmallow candies. That was 15%. So 15% of weirdos putting peeps. I like peeps. I know I'm in the minority here, but I like peeps. People are so devoted. I thought this was interesting. People are so devoted to giving those gift baskets that 60% of parents still give gift baskets, Easter baskets to their kids long after they are no longer kids. And I have to confess, my wife does this every year. She puts together an Easter basket for both our boys. They are in their 30s. And she's still giving them Easter baskets every year, just like she still fills their stockings at Christmas time. But 60% of parents will continue to give gift baskets to their adult children. And one other factoid, according to the Wallet Hub data, 78% of those who partake in chocolate bunnies start by eating the ears first. Start by eating the ears first, 78%. So that is the great Easter debate, ears first or tail first. I saw the meme on Facebook, and this goes around every year. The one chocolate bunny says, "My butt hurts." And the other says, "What did you say?" Anyway, but 3 out of 10. I thought this was interesting with respect to the amount of money that we spend on Easter. 3 out of 10 say that Easter expenses are worth going into debt for. Wow. And 42% say that they do not set an Easter budget the way they do at Christmas time. 42% say they don't set an Easter budget, and 3 in 10, 30% say that Easter expenses are worth going into debt for. Do you see a problem there? Just something that you might want to think about. By the way, Wallet Hub also crunched the numbers and came up with the best city to celebrate Easter, and number one on the list, what would you guess? The best city to celebrate Easter, of all things. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was number one. Birmingham, Alabama, number two. Buffalo, New York, Orlando, and El Paso, Texas round out the top five. The top Ohio city to celebrate Easter, Cincinnati. So, fresh off another successful community read event, Sarah Clevidence is with us this morning. Details on April happenings at the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library. And Sarah, first of all, thanks for joining us on the phone this morning because, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I was a little under the weather yesterday, still a little gravelly in the voice today. Nobody wants to be around me right now. So we got Sarah on the line. Thanks very much for taking the time. Community Read, another real successful program, as we mentioned.
Yes, thank you. It was phenomenal. We had about 185 families come through for the Imagination Station takeover event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had so much fun learning about science and the eclipse. And even the adults who stopped in the library that day who weren't there for the event commented on their way out how wonderful it was to see so many kids having fun learning in the library.
That is awesome. And of course, what a great book, Hidden Figures, that hopefully everybody got the chance to read last month. And by the way, with respect to the eclipse, while we are on that subject, you are going to be closed, like many places, you're going to be closed on Monday the 8th, right?
That is correct. We'll have normal hours the weekend before. We'll reopen on the 9th, but on the 8th, we will all be home enjoying our eclipse glasses and checking out the eclipse.
As a matter of fact, you have eclipse glasses there at the library, I believe I saw on the website.
Yes, I saw some yesterday when I walked past the circulation desk. I did not double check this morning, but there may still be a few left.
Okay, so going quick, if you happen to drop by the library and you need the glasses, you can ask about that. So what's going on in the month of April? Again, now that we're past community read and we get into the spring, what's happening?
Well, first I should mention that, you know, while the eclipse has our attention on April 8th, that is also National Library Week. So, you know, it's a great time to stop in the library, see what we have going on. The 9th is National Library Worker Day. So, you know, we'd love it if you stopped in and said hi, told us what you love about the library. We'll be celebrating in the library all week. But we have lots of great programs coming up all month. One that's really caught my eye, on April 2nd, we have one of our virtual author talks that are done in conjunction with the Marathon Center of Performing Arts. It's Paula Johnson. She's a curator for the National Museum of American History, and she's going to be discussing the Smithsonian American Table, The Foods, People, and Innovations That Feed Us. So that book is described as a sweeping history of food and culture. You know, talks about how immigration and migration shaped American tables, how food companies have influenced things like Jell-O salads and crock pots, and right. the influence that major chefs like, you know, James Beard and Julia Child have had on generations of cooks. So I think that'll just be a really fascinating talk. And that's one of the virtual author talks you can register for on our website.
That really does sound fascinating, because if you think about it, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing that we all have in common, is that we got to eat, and what we eat and how we eat and all of that. Obviously, a lot of things have influenced that over the years. Really should be a fascinating discussion.
It should be a great one. We also have a partnership with Master Gardeners for a program on April 13th on native plants of Northwest Ohio. They will be giving free seeds of native plants to individuals who attend the program. But, you know, Northwest Ohio was once all native plants. And so this will be a class that helps you learn how to make your yard more natural again. That group is helping to bring in Doug Talamay later in the month for an event. And so this lecture that they're doing at the library is based on Doug Talamay's work on natural plants.
Yeah, again, very timely with everybody thinking about planting and spring growing season and all of that, and a very important topic. Anything else to highlight in the month of April here?
Well, you know, we're barely into spring, but if we want to think ahead till summer, our volunteer program is always very popular. It's an opportunity for volunteers ages 10 to 18 to have some ongoing volunteer work at the library during summer read. And the applications for that will open on April 1st. They are due back by April 30th. That volunteer opportunity usually fills up. So if you are looking for an opportunity for your teen or tween to volunteer this summer, you know, the library is a great one, but you'll just want to make sure you get that application in early.
Okay. What ages are you looking for there?
Yeah, so that's for ages 10 to 18.
Okay.
You know, they'll help, they help kids sign up for summer read, help promote the program to patrons in the library. They'll often help, you know, assembling crafts or, you know, cutting things out, getting supplies ready for programs. So
very good.
A lot of different tasks that we can have those kids help us with over the summer.
Very good. And again, as you mentioned, registration for that, or the application period, is throughout the month of April, even though, again, like you said, we're not necessarily thinking about summer yet, but this is an opportunity to get signed up for that program. Sounds like that would be a really cool way for teens to volunteer their time when summer does arrive and they have all of that free time on their hands. There are a couple of new titles that are coming to the library in the month of April. What is new for folks to check out on the shelves?
Sure. Well, David Baldacci is one of the most popular authors amongst our patrons, and he has a new one called A Calamity of Souls that's publishing on April 16th, but you can go ahead and put it on hold in our catalog now. It's described as a courtroom drama set in Virginia in 1968 about a racially charged murder case and two very different lawyers working together to present a fair trial.
David Baldacci is always great stuff, and we've had him on the program a number of times to talk about a number of his books. Always love to see new stuff from David Baldacci. What else is new coming out in the month of April?
Well, one I'm excited about is a new one by Emily Henry. She's a romance writer. Her new one will be called Funny Story. Doesn't publish until April 23rd, but again, you can go ahead and put it on hold in our catalog or for a digital copy as well. This one's made it on the list of most anticipated books of 2024. And, you know, I've got to love the fact that it's about a newly single children's librarian. she gets a new roommate who is her ex-fiance's new fiance's ex, and you know, I'm sure that it's going to be a wonderful rom-com.
Yeah.
Emily Henry is one of my favorites, so I look forward to that one.
That'll be a good beach read for the spring and summer months. Yeah, those are just a couple of titles that are new in the month of April. Like we say, always something new at the library. All of the details on the programs that we mentioned and other things going on at the library in the month of April on the website, right?
Yes, finleylibrary.org.
And again, a reminder that the library will be closed on Eclipse Day, Monday the 8th. Sarah Clevedence, director of the Findlay Hancock County Public Library, with us this morning. Sarah, thanks very much for the update.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, that, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, assuming my voice holds out, we'll talk about the Findlay Rotary Club's Golden Apple Awards and how you can still nominate a deserving educator for this prestigious honor. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go out and make it a good day. We'll hopefully catch you back here tomorrow.